Would you turn with me, please, to the fifth chapter of Genesis, chapter 5. In recent days, we have been looking at the fourth chapter of Genesis. Today we want to look at the fifth, and if the Lord will, next Lord's Day at chapter 6. Because in the days of the Lord Jesus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 24, his disciples came to him one day and asked the Lord to tell them when he would return. What would be the times or the characteristics of the days in which the Lord would return the second time, or that event in history to be known as the rapture? And the Lord told his disciples, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in those days prior to his second coming. So we have noted some remarkable things. Rather than review, I wish to press forward and like to read the fifth chapter of Genesis in its entirety. Now may I ask you to follow with me, please, because periodically I am going to ask you to read as a congregation. So be alert. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Mr. and Mrs. Adam, if you please. And in the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, class, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enosh. And Seth lived after he begot Enosh 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enosh lived 90 years and begat Kenan. And Enosh lived after he begot Kenan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And Kenan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Kenan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Kenan were 910 years. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. and he called his name Noah, saying, "This shall comfort us concerning our walk and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. An amazing story. An amazing chapter. And I suppose, well, did you note the paradox of Genesis chapter 5? Notice, please, in the first verse, this is the book of the generations of Adam. This is the book of life. This is the story after generation after generation after generation. This is the story of the generations. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Do you see the paradox there? But I suppose all of us could say, this is the way it is. There is a time to be born, there is a time to die. And he died, and he died, and he died. This is the way it has always been. This is the way it will be to the end. A man will be born, and a time will come when he should die. It has always been this way. This is the way it will continue to the end. Not so, not so, not so, not so. If you know anything of the Word of God, this was not God's intention. God is the author of life, and it was His intention that men should live and walk with Him for eternity, on into the recesses of eternity. God is the author of life. What happened? Sin came into the world. And death by sin. This was not God's intention. It is not God's intention today. It is possible to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in which we're going to live down through the corridors of eternity. He is a God of life, and His intention for His people is that they shall live with Him down through the corridors of all eternity. The God of the living and the God that wants that experience for each one of His people. If we are born again Christians, we are looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. This is the promise that God has given to us in His Word. Now, isn't it amazing, in this chapter, and he died, and he died, and he died, God brings a character into the chapter that did not die. Did you notice that? In verse 24, and God, and Enoch, walked with God, and he was not, for God took it. There was a man who lived his life, and at a given point in that life, he was not. There was no funeral. There was no graveyard experience. There was a point of time in which Enoch was not. He was gone, and he went to be with the Lord. What a remarkable experience that must be. And you know, as we face that account in Scripture, there are two attitudes that we can take about. It's ridiculous. It never happened. That's not the way life is. Forget it. It's fairy tale. That's a very convenient and a very easy path to take. Men and women have taken it for centuries. There might be some in our congregation this morning that take that story and write it off as simply as that. I say it's convenient because you don't have to think to take that position. You will never have to worry that God is going to bother your conscience if you take that path. And God has promised, if that's the path that you take, that it goes on into eternal oblivion. The truth of the matter is, God has placed the account of Enoch in His Word because there's a message there for you and for me. God wants to speak to our hearts through a man that He brought into time and took him at His convenience. When I draw your attention to the fact that this man, Enoch, walked with God, he was a married man. He had sons and daughters. He was not sequestered out in some monastery somewhere, buried in books or removing himself from life experiences. Not at all. Not at all. The problems of children, the fights of sons and daughters, and all of the things that go on in a normal family experience, Enoch passed through those experiences, and yet he walked with God. And there came a time, and someone has expressed it this way, Enoch, you have been walking these many years with me. You're closer to my house than to yours. Come on home with me. And he was not, for God took me. That thought of Enoch walking with God is a thrilling thing. Have you ever thought about it? My soul's response to that is, I would love to walk with God. God, I've got some questions I would like to ask you. Lord, talk to me about a tree. How do you get 100 tons of water 100 feet in the air? I've read about it, Lord. How do you do that? Lord, how do you put the scent into a rose? Lord, talk to me about it. Lord, I have been reading how that water is evaporated into the air and it brings precipitation. Lord, how is it that sometimes the drops come down so fine it's like a mist? And other times it comes down in drops that literally splash when they hit the pavement. Lord, how do you do that? And the questions could go on ad infinitum of the glory of the things that He has made for us. But do you recognize there's a problem here? With all of the things that I would like to speak to God about, He doesn't want to talk to me. Do you realize that? He looks on me and He can see the recesses of my heart. He knows every single thought and word and motive that has ever passed through my experience. And His words to me are, you're a sinner and you're separated from me for all eternity. I have nothing but judgment to say to you because I am unholy and I cannot come into His presence. Friend, do you realize our unapproachableness to God as sinners? There is nothing that I can do apart from receiving that great gift that God has provided for me. Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith Enoch was translated. It's this great faith that made Enoch acceptable to the Lord. It was because of that position of faith that he had. And all of Enoch's ministry was of the judgment that was to come in days that lie just ahead. God has nothing to say to me apart of my need of a Savior. But there were three additional points that I would like us to comment on just very briefly this morning regarding this man, Enoch. This situation in the fifth chapter of Genesis is the first clue that we have as to what God is going to do, we believe, in the days that lie immediately ahead of where we are here. It is an illustration of that event that is known as the rapture. Enoch walked with God, and suddenly he was not. He was taken out of this system and immediately ushered into the presence of God. Now, the New Testament tells us that there is a day, and we believe that day lies immediately ahead of us, that in a twinkling of an eye, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior are to be raptured, suddenly gone up to meet the Lord in the air. That event is known as the rapture. Here it is illustrated for us back in the fifth chapter of Genesis. Matthew tells us two shall be working in the field. One shall be taken and the other one left. One shall look around at his neighbor to find that the neighbor is gone, instantly removed to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a remarkable experience that's going to be. And here is a classic illustration of it given to us way back in this book of Genesis. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall be raised and we shall be changed. God's word indicates that that time is immediately before us. Jude verses 14 and 15, Enoch prophesied, "Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all that are ungodly among you of their ungodly deeds which they have done." What a message he had to preach. Now, I want to be very careful in my language now, because I want to say something that perhaps is sensational, and yet I think it's something that we should consider very carefully. Back in the days prior to God's judgment, there was a man in the sky. God took a man, Enoch, and put him up in the sky. That has never happened before, and I was about to say since, but if I used the word astronaut, something very unusual of this type has happened in our lifetimes. As it was in the days before the last judgment, so shall it be in the days immediately preceding the second coming of the Lord. And we have put men on the moon. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? If you have been in spiritual circles for any period of time and listened to the radio, I expect that you have heard of Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. Mr. Barnhouse passed away maybe 10 years ago. Mr. Barnhouse preached on the radio for 25 years and never left the Book of Romans. His sermons fill 10 volumes, and they are beautifully done. Tapes of Mr. Barnhouse's messages are being broadcasted WFME 5 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. He's been dead for nearly 10 years, and yet his messages are just amazing. Years ago now, I have no idea how long ago, he was commenting on this story of Enoch, and he said something that I have never forgotten. and I would like to share with you this morning. Commenting on this story, he said that modern science has proven that this story is ridiculous and never could happen. He said, modern science now knows that the universe probably started with a cosmic explosion, and the universe is moving outward from the point of that explosion. And with radio telescopes, we now still are able to maintain contact with stars, debris of that explosion, that have been traveling at the speed of light for billions of years and are still going. And therefore, if Enoch went to be with God was, he would still be going and long since would have died of suffocation in space. The whole thing is ridiculous. Mr. Barnhouse shot that thing down in a fashion that thrilled my heart. His comment was this: since when is God limited to the speed of light? God travels at the speed of thought. And I can think myself to the local drugstore or to outer space in that time. Since when is God limited to the speed of light? You can take the story and you can put it aside, or you can let God speak to your heart. It happened once. God said it's going to happen again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those that have identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have had that personal experience of salvation, suddenly are not going to be. They're going to go up to meet him in the air. Friends, this morning, if that event should happen this afternoon, and there is no biblical reason to prevent it from happening this afternoon, are you ready to meet him? There will be no time for discussion or conversation or decision then. A point in time when that company of people shall be gone. Now, will you permit me, please, to back off from the chapter per se, and I want to look, instead of at the trees, I want to look at the forest now, the whole chapter in perspective. There are three people or three groups of people that are mentioned in this chapter, and each one of them can be summarized in a single word. I want to look at the group, I want to look at the word, and ask that God will speak to our hearts. I draw your attention to Enoch, who was raptured before the judgment. I want to look at Noah and his family, who passed through the judgment. And I want to look at a great company who perished in the judgment. Before, through, and in are the words that I want to draw to your attention. Noah's family went through the judgment. God had his hand on that family. The scripture tells us that the ark was pitched within and without. It was waterproof. Quite apart from that, God had his hand on that vessel. Satan or waves or wind or any such thing was not going to disturb that ship. God had his hand and his purposes on that vessel and its contents. Can I propose to you that here is an example of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel? God took that ship through the judgment. My heart is sad, as I'm sure yours is, as we read on occasion or even recently on television, have been reminded of what the world now refers to as the Holocaust. That thought embarrasses me as a human being, to think that men can do that type of thing to other human beings embarrasses me as a human being. But God's word clearly states in the book of the Revelation that God has yet deeper water for the nation of Israel. The Holocaust shall be as nothing compared to what still lies ahead for the nation of Israel. Read the book of Revelation and see for yourself. But God has promised that he's going to take that people through what even yet lies ahead. He has committed himself to do that, and do it he shall. Oh, that people would see the provision that God has made for them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to even talk about it. How sad. God has committed himself to a course of action, and he will bring that people through even that judgment. But secondly, we are introduced to Enoch, who was taken before the judgment came. Might I remind our hearts that that would speak to us of the church of Jesus Christ. Every man and woman, boy and girl, who have had an experience, who have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. That company of people is a precious thing to God. It has been purchased at the cost of his only begotten Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. That company of people is not going to be here when God speaks the second time in judgment. As we have described, there is a point in time that only God the Father knows. A point in time when that company of people, red and yellow, black and white, around the whole globe, shall suddenly be taken to meet him in the air. The rapture. And I believe with all of my heart that that is going to take place. And I see no reason why it shouldn't take place in my lifetime. And I know people a lot older than I am that believe the same thing. It could happen today. All of the things that we get so engulfed with are going to be left behind. All of them. The question is, I wonder the degree of the treasure that I've accumulated in glory that I shall meet in his presence. But friend, this morning, do you have that quietness in your heart that if he should come today, that things are right and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the most important question you will ever be called to answer for all eternity. And if you know him as a personal Savior, that point in time when the goodness of it came into your life, I believe, is an anniversary you will not forget for all eternity. That day, when I became a child of God by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a third group here. We'll have something to say about this next Lord's Day. Because there was a man by the name of Noah who ministered for 120 years. Every blow of his hammer was a testimony of his faith and obedience to God. And every hammer blow was a message as to what God was going to do. And there was a population around who apparently enjoyed it as one of the hilarious things that was going on. How stupid to build a ship outside of even the appearance of water in a land that had never known rain. And to build that monstrosity, what a joke. Can you hear the shouts to old Noah as he went up the scaffold? You know enough of the language of people today. Can you hear the crowd? Can you hear them? For 120 years, Noah and his sons went up the ladders, up the scaffolds, pounded the nails as a testimony of their faith and confidence in what God was going to do. And a point in time came when God said, Noah and your family, go in. And I find it most significant that the scripture records, and God shut the door. What a big joke that must have been. And then the judgment came, and a whole population was destroyed in direct fulfillment to what God had said. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Friend, have you had an experience in which you have invited Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? On the authority of this book, that is the most important question that you shall ever be asked to answer. If thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, thou shalt be saved. To as many as receive him, to them gave he the authority to be called the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. If you have never had that experience, may God help you so to have this morning for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Father, very quietly in thy presence this morning, we call upon thy Holy Spirit to do his work in the hearts of men and women today. Father, we read in thy word that great numbers shall be left behind. What a tragedy when the word has been spoken, the gospel has been preached, men and women have been faced with a decision. Lord, we ask that if there is any in our little congregation this morning that have never invited Jesus Christ into their hearts, that they might do it this morning and know the joy and the satisfaction of sins forgiven. Our Father, we're grateful for the privilege that has been ours this morning. We ask now, as we're dismissed, that there might be a hush on our hearts this morning. something of the gravity of these things might press in upon us, and that we might live our lives in accordance to thy word. We're grateful. We give thee our thanks in Jesus.